Jaya Gauri Srila Prabhupada. You can hear me now, I guess, right? Okay. Jaya Hare Krishna. We'll continue today in our readings of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we'll be reading from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Chapter 4. We'll begin with text 15. And it won't be a long class today for the benefit of the devotees in North America, so you can chant your japa. We will chant mostly our japa together, but we'll see how long it will be. Text 15. Paramananda yuktena durvitarkena vartmana jagat vilakshanena naham vaikuntam tai sahavrajan. In their company, I traveled along the path to Vaikuntha, a path inconceivable, supremely blissful, and distinct from everything in this world. No commentary. Teshu lokeshva lokeshva varaneshva pisaravata drishti pate pilajayam puje tad adhikaribhi lokapala dibhishchordva mukai sanjali mastakai vegad ukshipyamanabhi pushpalaja divishtibhi. Translation. My eyes fell upon all those worlds, cosmic regions, and coverings of the universe I had visited before, and I felt ashamed. The residents and presiding rulers of those places were honoring me, faces upraised, palms joined above their heads. They vigorously cast flowers, parched rice, and other auspicious offerings upwards toward me. Commentary. Gopakumara had previously traveled to the abode of liberation by passing through the sphere of the sun, but the path of the present journey to Vaikuntha was even more exceptional. This was the path the pure devotees traverse when they leave this material world for the spiritual world. Unlike tiresome material roads, this path is supremely blissful, and it leads to the realm of Vaikuntha, a realm superior even to the abode of liberation. The same worlds Gopakumara had previously reached with great labor within the 14 planetary systems and beyond, he now easily passed through one after another. He passed the planets encircled by the Loka-Loka mountain and entered the part of the universe where sunlight cannot reach. Then he went through each of the 8 covering shells of the universe. On his first trip to Mahakalapur, the abode of liberation, Gopakumara had known well that the regions through which he was passing were all creations of material illusion. On the present journey, however, his realization was more advanced. He now understood that liberation itself is of little value, so he was ashamed even to look at the material attractions he had once found of interest. As he passed by all the planets, he had to tolerate the respectful greetings of Indra and the other rulers. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Mangayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurandina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shanyavari Paschachadye Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama 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 Hari Hari. The last verse we spoke about Gopakumara's resistance to the strong recommendations which were offered to him by residents of Vaikuntha, to first being, and that was the verse that we read, the first recommendation was that he should accept a suitable form so that he can take full advantage of all that Vaikuntha has to offer. And then we took the opportunity to go ahead a little bit, and we also discussed the other suggestions that were made to him by the Vaikuntha residents, not only to adapt by accepting a form, but accepting opulences and accepting services and accepting words of glorification, suitable words of glorification. We'll come to those in due course of time, but I've simply introduced the topic in our previous class. The main point was Gopakumara's resistance and gentle resistance, as well as the gentle recommendations which were passed on to him, freed from envy and malice, as a humble suggestion in service of their worshipful Lord, that these would be better methods to serve him. So now that was taking place when he first entered the Vaikuntha airplane. This conversation initially took place there. And now in today's verse, and we're not going to stay long in this verse. We're going to go a little bit also on another couple of verses from here. But because there's something relevant, I'll speak a little bit about it that is existing in today's verse. In this verse, excuse me, this first verse. And in this verse, Gopakumara is describing his journey, the path which he's taking this time, and he's noticing how it's distinctly different. Not only is it distinctly different, but his consciousness is distinctly different as well from the previous journey that he took. Now, bear in mind, we began reading Brihad Bhagavatamrita way back whenever we started. I can't even remember when it was. Maybe it was in May. But we began in Mahakalapur. We didn't really. I gave reference to some of the previous places that Gopakumara had visited, but we really never read in detail Gopakumara's journey to Mahakalapur. So I'll just briefly summarize it, because it's important to note that on this journey that he's taking to Vaikuntha, it's much more wondrous. His consciousness is much more, as I said, different. And to help you understand the difference, I'm going to go back and just briefly summarize what he encountered when he was on his journey to Mahakalapur the first time. At that particular time, as we know, that he was on Satyaloka, and a recommendation was given to him to go to Mahakalapur. And he went there from Mathura, and he journeyed a different route than he's taking now, although he's going through all the same places that he had previously seen. This time, it's the express. And not only is express, there are no stops, but his perception of all the places previously visited is much different. He's embarrassed. And why is he embarrassed? For two reasons. He's embarrassed because of the offerings of worship that everyone is giving him along the way. And he was embarrassed that every time he stopped at each of those places, he gave a lot of attention to those places. Because now he realizes, why did I invest so much of my attention in those places? What were those places? Well, I'm going to start on his journey to Mahakalapur. Now, on his journey to Mahakalapur, as it's described here, he had to first penetrate the sun. It says right here that Gopakumar had previously traveled to the abode of liberation by passing through the sphere of the sun. And this is described in the previous chapter. He says, I saw my body change into a form transcendental to the five material elements. And as I traveled upward, breaking through the sphere of the sun, I saw all the planetary systems. In commentary, Gopakumar saw his own body change from a product of the material elements into a transcendental body. To achieve this perfection, he was not forced to die, to give up one body in exchange for another. Rather, his body became refined so that he was able to travel through the coverings of the universe and enter the abode of liberation. The doorway to liberation is the sun, which accomplished celibates and Vaishnavas pass through on their way out of the material world. Gopakumar broke through the sphere of the sun and traveled upward, seeing all 14 worlds as he passed beyond them. So he had passed through the sun, and then after passing through the sun, he saw all the different planetary systems that exist within this universe. And then after passing through all the different planetary systems, then the next thing that Gopakumar saw, we described this briefly previously, he saw the coverings of the universe. And it's interesting to note that in the coverings of the universe, each covering of the universe provides a facility of enjoyment which is more opulent, superior to the previous. So his first place he stopped, stopped, didn't just pass through, he stopped, but didn't stay there long, was, you know, Earth. And the predominating deity of the Earth is Varaha, and he was being worshipped by Bhumi, and she stopped Gopakumar and tried to entice him by saying, look at all the wonderful opulences we have here. Why don't you stay for a little while and enjoy? Gopakumar exchanged with her in this way, but then said, because he had his mind fixed, that he wanted to go to Mahakalapur, he thanked Bhumi and then continued on. And then he describes how, as he continued on, is it, he felt like he was being drawn from one covering to the next to the next. And each one of those coverings provided a greater facility of enjoyment. And each covering had its own predominating deity. Next covering was Matsya. Next covering was Surya. Then there was Pradyumna, Aniruddha, other predominating deities of each one of the coverings, going both from the gross coverings to the subtle coverings. And then finally, after passing through those coverings, previous trip, as we said, because every covering he went through, everyone was there, come, I have something for you. You'll really like what I have to offer, right? So Gopakumar, of course, he became a little captivated by what was there, but because he was a lot determined to continue his journey, although he spoke with the different personalities who were encouraging him in each of those places, he finally found himself going to that place which was complete darkness, which was the in between the cosmic manifest, the material universe, and then Mahakalapur. And this is the most subtle form. It's the subtle form of ignorance. And there was Prakriti, the goddess Prakriti. And she was worshiping the form of the Lord there, Mohini Murti. She was the predominating deity of this place. And she also, just as the previous places provided different attractive, appealing offerings, she said, why don't you stay here? I can give you all kinds of mystic yogic perfections. I can give you Anama Siddhi. I can give you Lagima Siddhi. And she kind of offered all the, and she showed him, although it was a very dark place, it was the color of like a rain cloud. It was very dark, but it was very attractive also. And Gopakumar became a little bit captivated at that point. He wanted to spend a little time researching. So he looked about, and we became a little bit, I guess you could say he was on tour. He wanted to just see what was there. And then what happened is that he decided that he would move on, because he was, after all, destined to go to Mahakalapur. And then at that point, he broke through that covering, and then he entered into the effulgence, which was the Brahma Jyoti, the effulgence coming from the Lord. So the point is that his journey at that particular time was not express. It was in each and every one of these places that he had to travel through, he was entertained with requests and proposals and conversations to stay and to delight in these wondrous opulences which were available. And one may wonder, how is it that all these coverings have, we always just think of the coverings of the material universe as just coverings. You know, it's a covering, earth, water, fire, air. It's a covering. And that's all that's there is just a covering. But it's not. It's actually a place where living entities who want to take the slow path to liberation. And Gopakumar brings out this point that some people who aspire for liberation choose to take the slow path. And to take the slow path, then what happens is they take on a particular body which facilitates them to stay in that particular covering. They take on a particular form which is predominantly made of earth, or they take on a particular form, which is predominantly of water, and they stay, and they, for whatever reason, because it's not an eternal place, but they stay there because they want to do a tour. They want to do a tour, and they want to check out the different opulences and enjoyments and pleasures which are available on the way to liberation. Sometimes we think liberation is just, that's it. But the liberationists, actually, because they're not completely free from material desires, bhukti mukti siddhi kami, sakali ashanta, because they're not completely free from material desires, and therefore, some liberationists will visit these different places as they gradually approach the abode of liberation. So Gopakumara didn't stay very long, and but as we said, it's described that they take on, because they're liberated, they don't have a material body, but they take on a physical human body. They take on a body which is suitable to enjoy in those particular coverings. So on this journey, which you're reading about now, Gopakumara is now, he's looking at all that with disdain, like, how could I ever be interested? And not only that, but it was because he's on the fast track. He's not even, doesn't even really see them so much. All he sees is just the different personalities there saying, all glories to you, you know. And they're offering homage, they're offering their pranams, they're throwing offerings to him, saying, that all glories to you. You're no longer a resident of this material world. You've got direct access, because they understand that he's going to some superior place. So that's what he's describing here in this verse. It's just a little, as I said, a little summary of what he encountered before and what he's not encountering now. He's just going beyond. And then where does he land up after he passes through all of those different regions very quickly? And as we described last time, not only does he pass through quickly, but he's seeing, because he's on this Vaikuntha airplane, he's already experiencing the opulences of Vaikuntha even while on the airplane, even before he gets to Vaikuntha, because he's surrounded by the Vaikuntha residents who are filled with all opulences. They're surrounded by the Vaikuntha residents who are willingly bestowing upon him not only the opulence, but they're bestowing upon him the necessary spiritual body to enjoy in Vaikuntha, and to facilitate the service in Vaikuntha, not really so much to enjoy. Then where does he find himself next? And that's what we're going to read. What time is it? The clock is not here. Huh? 5:11. Okay, we're going to read a couple more verses. I don't know, but let's see what happens. So this verse we just read, my eyes fell upon all those worlds, cosmic regions, and coverings of the universe I had visited before, and I felt ashamed. The residents and presiding rulers of those places were honoring me, faces upraised, palms joined above their heads. They vigorously cast flowers, parched rice, and other auspicious offerings upwards toward me. Text 18. Taistu yamano jaya shabda purvakam pranam yamanas chapate pade chalan tuchcham puro mukti padam chalochayan urdvantata shi shiva lokam avrajam praised by cries of victory and offered obeisances at every step, I moved on, and before my eyes I saw the abode of liberation and how trifling it was. And traveling upward from there, I came to the world of Lord Shiva. No commentary. Shomam Shivam Tatra Mudar Pranamya Tenardara Prema Sad Ukti Jalai Anandito Vakya Mano Durapa Mahatmya Malam Tam Agam Vikuntam. There, I bowed down to Lord Shiva and Uma with great pleasure, and he made me feel blissful with a flood of gracious words filled with love and respect. And then I went on to that place whose garland of glories cannot be touched by words or by the mind, Vaikuntha. So not only did he look disparagingly upon the different coverings of the universe, but this time he looked disparagingly upon the abode of liberation. Because if you remember, in the abode of liberation, it was the personified Vedas who came to tell him, look, this is not the place. You know, do you want more than this place? Although there were some arguments that were going on between the just different Shastras about the benefits of Mahakalapur, but still the particular Bhakti Shastras that spoke out and prevailed on Gopakumara already convinced him that this, you don't want to stay here. This is not the place for somebody like you who wants to serve. So he looked disparagingly upon the abode of liberation as well. Where does he find himself next? Parshadai idam uktoham tvam tishte hakshanam bahi vigyapya prabhum asmabi purim yavat pravekshase. The associates of the Lord told me, please wait here for a moment outside. We should take permission from our Lord before bringing you into the city. Commentary. The Vaikuntha Dutas asked Gopakumara to stay behind in the gateway while they went inside Vaikuntha to secure permission for his entrance. This is the standard etiquette for introducing someone to the supreme opulence of Vaikuntha. Specific permission should be obtained from him, either from Lord Vaikunthanath directly or from a proper deputized authority. Now, this is, of course, indicating that before one actually enters Vaikuntha, he stops at the gates first. When I was reading this and I think about it, you know, many times you hear about gates, having to pass through gates. And I reflecting also on the description, and I'm going to get to this because it's a very nice, relevant side point. When the four Kumaras entered into the Vaikuntha, they had to pass through gates. Now, of course, they were four young boys, and they were Brahmavadis. They were Brahman realized. They were Avesh avatars who were empowered with Gyan, and it's described in the, I think it was Laghu Bhagavatamrita, where it describes the different avatars of the Lord, that one of the avatars of the Lord is the Aveshla avatars, Sakyavesh, and some of them are Jivas. And their reference there was the four Kumaras, Narada Muni, Pitu Maharaj. The four Kumaras were referenced as Sakyavesh avatars who were empowered with Gyan, knowledge, Narada Muni, empowered with bhakti, and Prithu Maharaj, empowered with powers as a king, they were particular living entities, but the four Kumaras, they took their birth right from the beginning, during the Brahma Kalpa. They appeared from the body of Lord Brahma. And they had been previously inclined by their nature towards impersonalism. And so nonetheless, and there's a reason why they were entering Vaikuntha, and I want to get to that, but I'm jumping ahead a little bit. I don't want to lose track about the gates. Let me cover a point about the gates, because here we see Gopakumar, he's also standing in front of the gates. Now, in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, it very clearly states that there are seven gates that one has to pass. And at each gate, and it's described here also in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, each gate has gatekeepers, and each gatekeeper has a superintendent that the gatekeeper has to go to get permission to take whoever's passing through the gate into his region, because there's different precincts. You know, before you actually get into the past the seventh gate, there are different precincts, and in each of those precincts, one actually has to pass through. But generally, and this point is a very wonderful point, generally, those who go into Vaikuntha and easily pass through each gate are those who are brought on a Vaikuntha airplane. Those who are brought on a Vaikuntha airplane, Vaikuntha duties have already gone to take them, and they're being escorted. So what the Vaikuntha duties is saying here to Gopakumar, they're saying, wait here, we're going to go in, and because this is the etiquette in Vaikuntha, before you go to see any important personality, first you have to be invited to come. You can't just barge in and expect that you're immediately going to get, you know, all facilities. But when the blessings are there, the invitation is there, the escort is there, everything's arranged, if you know the right people, you get right in. And when you're escorted by the Vaikuntha Dutas, you know the right people. They brought you there. They know how to get you in. Not only do they know how to get you in, but they know what to tell you to look for when you've actually gotten to the destination that you really want to get to. But Gopakumara, he didn't fully understand yet. And when he was sitting at the gates of Vaikuntha, when he saw all these personalities flying in from different places that had previously visited, and they all had sarupya, mukti, they all had forms similar to the Lord, Gopakumara was watching them come in, and, oh, this must be the Lord of Vaikuntha. He merely bowed down, prostrated themselves, and then he spoke to them, and they said, what are you doing? You know, I'm just a servant here. And each one of the personalities he saw, the even more glorious than the previous, each time he thought they were the Lord of Vaikuntha that he had come to see. And even as he was passing through each of the gates, when he went through the first gate, when the Vaikuntha dudas came to take him, and then he got through the first gate, and the gatekeepers were there, and the gatekeeper had to go to the superintendent, and the superintendent of that particular precinct looked far more even opulent than the gatekeepers. Then he was thinking, this must be the Lord. And after Gopakumar went through that so many times, finally the Vaikuntha Dutas were escorting him in and said, look, you don't have to do that anymore. If you want to recognize your Lord, look for Shrivatsa on his chest. That's how you'll be able to recognize. And then that's what the Vaikuntha Dutas told Gopakumar as he was passing through these gates. Now, as I said before, and this is a very interesting point, that to enter into Vaikuntha, generally those who are welcomed into Vaikuntha, they're brought there in a Vaikuntha airplane, just like you read, you know, when Ajamil was going to Vaikuntha, they saw the four effulgent personalities to come. They took him in the plane. They took him to Vaikuntha. When Dhruva Maharaj was come, he picked up in a Vaikuntha airplane. And Dhruva Maharaj, when he was thinking about his mother, he looked and he saw there was his mother. She was also going into Vaikuntha. That's the way to go. It's the way to go. But the four Kumaras didn't go that way. Now, this is something that's very, very interesting. And this point is brought up by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentaries on the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And I wanted to read a little bit of these commentaries, and it will just expand on this point that the four Kumaras, because they were, as I said, they were impersonalists. They were not yet full devotees. Although they were very exalted personalities, they were Sakchivesh avatars, empowered with gyan, but still they had some attraction to the impersonal aspect. Now, of course, we read about in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and this point is made very clear, that they became devotees when the Lord, when Jai and Vijay stopped them at the gates and said, you know, put out their staffs and said, where do you think you're going? And then when the four Kumaras became upset and say, who do you think you are to stop us? Don't you know who we are? And they became angry. And then when word got back to the Lord of Vaikuntha, then he went there for a couple of reasons. He went there because he wanted to give mercy to the four Kumaras. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the reason why he wanted to give mercy to the four Kumaras, and Jiva Goswami explains this in the Bhakti Sandarbha, he explains it because the four Kumaras had previously heard from their grandfather, from their father, excuse me, Lord Brahma, and from their brother Narada Muni also, about the glories of the Lord and the glories of devotional service. And because they had received their blessings, then the Lord was very much inclined to give them mercy because of having been blessed by Brahma and Narada. That was one of the reasons why he went there. And how did he bless them? He came there, and when the four Kumaras, they smelled the fragrance of Tulsi, emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord, that aroma that entered into their nostrils, and it actually purified them, and they became attracted to the form of the Lord. And then they became not only attracted to the form of the Lord, but they began to understand the glories of service to the Lord, simply as a result of that fragrance, Tulsi, emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord. Now, there's more. There's more I wanted to bring out, and I'm going to read that because it's in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. That's just simply an introduction to the point. But I was thinking of this last time. I was thinking, but what about the four Kumaras? Now, why didn't they, you know, get in? And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, they didn't get in. They got mercy. They became devotees, but they, like others who try to get in without being brought in on a flower airplane, they accomplish their purposes for coming, and then they're dispatched back to where they normally reside. In the case of the four Kumaras, as we explained before, they reside on Tapoloka, and that's their residence. But they can go wherever they want, and especially after they became devotees, they can also travel anywhere in the material or the spiritual worlds. But let me read something Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, this is in the verses from the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's his commentaries, that this is text 36, 15th chapter, excuse me, 15th chapter, text 25, excuse me, not 36. First, he describes in the Bhagavatam that those who are far above rules by following the Lord with dedication, who are superior to us, and whose qualities are desirable by us, and whose bodies develop goosebumps and uncontrolled tears through attraction to discussions of the Lord, possessing most excellent qualities, they enter Vaikuntha. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, those who are qualified are described. By following the Lord, they are best among the devatas. They're far beyond the rules. They discard the process of Ashtanga Yoga that because their position is desired by us but cannot be attained by us. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives another version of the words Dureyam, which is another version is Dureham, which means that they discard the ego. What is their character? The proof of their character is described. Because of experience of taste, through talking with mutual affection about the Lord, they show ecstatic symptoms. In Puranas and other scriptures, one sometimes hears that there is some momentary appearance of demons in the spiritual world. It's actually, I think it's Padma Purana. There's a description in the Padma Purana talking about how demons and monkeys and bears, they all entered into a Vaikuntha airplane, and they went to Vaikuntha. This is a description about from a part of from the Ramayana, but it's in the Padma Purana. There is a description of this. They go in an airplane to Vaikuntha. So that's what the reference is being here, from reference from the Padma Purana. In Puranas and other scriptures, one sometimes hears that there is some momentary appearance of demons in the spiritual world, but this should not be considered actually entrance into the spiritual world, since they lack realization of spiritual happiness. Sometimes tigers or bears enter into the jewel-covered palace of the king, endowed with various fragrances. For amusement, the king desires that the populace see those animals. Similarly, the Supreme Lord, for fun, by his will, brings material objects, ferocious demons, saintly persons, like Bhrigu, or persons beyond the three gunas, such as the Kumaras, to Vaikuntha, to show them the inhabitants of the spiritual world. And then quickly takes them away as is suitable to his purpose. But he brings his pure devotees to Vaikuntha through his associates on airplanes and has them reside there eternally. He has them taste his sweet abode, sweet service, and sweet pastimes. Next verse. Through the yoga maya of the Lord, the Kumaras attained Vaikuntha, the transcendental place most worshipped by the Lord, glowing with various aircraft owned by the excellent devotees. They attained Vaikuntha under the control of the Lord and experienced the highest bliss. Commentary. This verse describes the Kumaras' trip to Vaikuntha. They attained that place not by their own powers, but upon receiving the power of the Lord's Shakti, by the desire of the Lord, by his yoga maya, so that they could experience the highest bliss by the Lord's mercy. And just as we said before, and I can read those references, that those references are given also in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, in Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries, that the reason why the Lord became very inclined to bestow that mercy on the four Kumaras, to give them the opportunity to see Vaikuntha, to give them the opportunity to see his beautiful form. I don't know if you remember before, we once referred to the Gopakumaras, how they temporarily closed their eyes when they actually saw the form of the Lord. And the point that was being made as they closed their eyes was, one should not think that they decided that meditation on the form of the Lord was superior than seeing the form of the Lord. But they closed their eyes because they experienced ecstatic symptoms upon seeing the form of the Lord. And this was a anubhav. It was a subsequent manifestation that came as a result of an ecstatic symptoms upon seeing the form of the Lord. So the Lord gave him that mercy to see that form, to see Vaikuntha, and to get his, and to, what to speak of, to give up the attraction to the impersonal conception. All of that was achieved by the blessings the four Kumaras received from Lord Brahma. And this is described in one, it's a long purport, and if I read the long purport, I'll defeat the whole purpose of my introduction, which was a short class. So I'm just going to read the the essence of the purport, which is, the verse is, gazing upon the face of the Lord, this is the four Kumaras looking at the face of the Lord, resembling a blue lotus bud, with even more beautiful lips and a smile like a jasmine flower, the Kumaras, having attained the mercy of the devotees, then looked at his lotus feet with ruby-like toenails, and again looked at his face. And then the commentary describes the features that the four Kumaras were perceiving of the form of the Lord. And then also says, Labhasisa and Pitra Nuvarnita Raha in verse 46 indicate that the Lord's mercy follows after the mercy of the devotees. And by the mercy of the Lord, one achieves bhakti. Because statements are made generally because of predominance of one factor, one can say that bhakti arises by the mercy of the Lord, though actually the devotees first give mercy. Thus, one can say that by the mercy of the Lord, the Kumaras achieved bhakti and experienced the sweetness of the Lord. And then in text 46, which was also described, the verse says, the Kumaras said, O Lord of unlimited qualities, he who resides in the heart, invisible to the sinful, today has been seen by our eyes. When your secret nature was described previously by Brahma, who was born from you, it entered our intelligence through the ears. And Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, what unlimited great mercy. We have experienced the bliss of directly meeting the Lord by his mercy. Now remember, they didn't go through all the gates. They were stopped at the seventh gate. They went through six gates. Everyone understood that one, why Jai and Vijay stopped them, this was the will of the Lord. Actually, it was the will of the Lord, and that's been explained and described in many places, and we've explained that before, because of the Lords of Jai and Vijay and taking birth as demons, and because Jai and Vijay had been hearing the bards glorifying the pastimes of the Lord in Vaikuntha as they were describing how much the Lord likes to fight and goes to the material world to fight demons. And then Jai and Vijay, by standing outside that gate, they were close enough to hear the bards, and they began to think, well, it would be really nice to be able to serve the Lord like this. So that was also a desire they had in their heart. And therefore, the Lord also arranged that through this particular pastime. So the many purposes were fulfilled, but the Lord going to the gate personally in his form, his bringing the goddess of fortune, she came with him, and she also was there, and bestowed her mercy upon the four Kumaras. Anyways, with unlimited great mercy, we have experienced the bliss of directly meeting the Lord by his mercy. We are so fortunate. O unlimited Lord, ocean of unlimited powers and sweetness, though situated in the heart, you are not visible to the sinful. But you have appeared to us today in front of our eyes, and also previously. When did I appear previously? You do not remember. When your secret nature was described by Brahma, it entered our intelligence through the ears. In this way, we have previously attained you. Brahma said, O my sons, realizers of Brahman, meeting me directly is millions of times more blissful than realizing Brahman. Let that be. Bhagavan, dark like a blue lotus, with four strong arms, decorated with bracelets, armbands, and earrings, with moon-like face, residing in Vaikuntha, is available by bhakti. When we heard the blessings of mercy given by our father, a great devotee of the Lord, the fruits of that blessing would definitely appear in the future. We know that this meeting today with you arises from the incomparable mercy of your devotee. O Lord, you do not independently give mercy to us. You are dependent on your devotees. The greatness of the mercy of your devotees cannot be described. So that is an explanation about the four Kumaras, their entrance, not complete entrance, why they were not brought in all the way, but the Lord came out to them, the cursing of Jai and Vijay, they're having to take birth as demons, the four Kumaras purified from the impersonal attractions, attachments, becoming exalted devotees of the Lord. And then, as described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they were dispatched. They were dispatched. Not in a, like, sent to a region. I mean, they experience wonderful absorption in their ecstasies in Tapaloka, and they also travel in many places glorifying devotional service. Who was it that came to speak to Prithu Maharaj in the Bhagavatam 4th canto? Four Kumaras came there, and they enlightened Prithu Maharaj with the glories of devotional service and our characteristics of his devotees in so many respects. So the four Kumaras definitely, as a result of this mercy, it's not that they're simply deprived of bhakti or devotional service. They also continue to glorify devotional service by having received the mercy of Lord Brahma. Elsewhere, it's also explained, I can't remember where it is, but it's explained Narada Muni, their brother, also gave them some blessing. And by the Lord himself, who gave them his mercy because of their blessings, he became disposed to give them his mercy. So there's two ways to enter to Vaikuntha. One is by one's own attempt to enter. And as we said, sometimes even unapproved personalities will get a momentary experience of Vaikuntha, but then they're dispatched. I think Bhrigu Muni was given another who was able to come in when he actually tested the Lord of Vaikuntha by kicking him with his foot. And that's a whole other pastime. But he also came in there for some purpose and then returned. But the real way to gain entrance and to get all recommendations to go all the way and enter into the final precinct and to directly experience the Lord is when the Vaikuntha Dutas themselves come and pick up the devotee in their Vaikuntha airplane and then bring them and then say, okay, now wait here. We're going to get approval to bring you in and set you up for your eternal residence. So that's my short class. Was there Rasamuni also in the category? Seems so. Seems so. Yes, the Rasamuni also was in that same category. Because he also went to the Lord of Vaikuntha. And that's where the Lord also told him, you know, that, sorry, I can't do anything for you. He got, the Lord, that was the message he got from the Lord. Yeah, you've come all this way, but sorry, I'm powerless. I can't do anything for you. There's somebody who's got a power even greater than I have, and he's a resident. He's, because he's a great bhakta, he's beyond a resident of Vaikuntha. He's all his mind, his senses, his words, everything else is fully engaged. So therefore, the Lord of Vaikuntha said, you better go back. So, and meet Maharaj Ambarish. So it seems that he could also be classified in that same category. Temporary, a momentary visit to fulfill some purpose. Okay, we better chant some japa. We'll move into our japa now. And Hare Krishna.